Hey, folks, it is, as they Mario said, April 25th, 2016, and this is Lager Than Life on kpcradio.com, a show where we discuss craft beer and microbreweries in the San Fernando Valley and discuss with people who are behind them and, you know, let people know what's going on out there. I'm Dan DeLeon, as I've told you before, and really excited today because I have Alistair and Jennifer Bowes. I pronounced that hopefully correct. Owners and proprietors of McLeod Ale Brewing Company in Van Nuys. The brewery and tap room is hugely popular and are making a great name for themselves. Thank you guys so much for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Dan.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so let's get into it. How would you guys characterize your brewery, McLeod?
Well, I've been calling it the little brewery that could
lately
because we're kind of a small example of a microbrewery. We have a 7-barrel brew system, which is pretty much the size you get to after you are no longer a nano. So we only brew 220 gallons per brew. We do double batches to try and fill our big fermenters. But yeah, we're pretty small, but we have plans to grow. And yeah, we're excited to be coming up on our second anniversary. And it's really nice being here in the San Fernando Valley. And we're really proud of where we are and love that so many people from Van Nuys and the surrounding valley come to us.
No, I mean, you guys are doing fantastic things there. I mean, it is... I mean, word of mouth goes around, and the reviews on the internet are spectacular as well. How did the name McLeod Ales Brewing Company come about?
Well, I had needed to find a profession, a job. I'd been staying home raising kids for many, many years. I was very lucky to be able to do that. But it was time to start something new. I actually had gotten a divorce and married this awesome man here. And I was thinking of doing something on my own. But I realized one day if I could include him and lure him away from his profession that we could do something together and something bigger than what I was planning to do on my own. And I'm a not very good student of Dale Carnegie, who wrote the awesome book How to Win Friends and Influence People. And there's a whole chapter in there on the importance of names, and even to the point where, you know, important businessmen in the past have offered to name businesses or railroads after other people they wanted to bring in to their business. I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. So Alistair is from the West Highlands of Scotland, home of the Clan MacLeod, and his mother is a MacLeod. In fact, he has he's from a long line of MacLeods, even though his name is Bowes. But he wears the MacLeod tartan. And so I proposed the idea to him and said, "What? How about starting a brewery with me, and we will name it MacLeod?" And it worked.
Yeah,
he said yes.
Great. I mean, I think the name is very fitting because you guys pretty much concentrate on British style ales. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what made you guys want to, you know, focus on just the British style of ales and or even Scottish ales, and what made you guys go in that direction?
Well, we're both we have a lot of affections for the United Kingdom. Jenny was raised in England, in the county of Kent, for about 7 years, from five to 12 years old. So she loved England and everything about it, the culture, the climate stuff. And I was raised from 8 months old to 24 years old in the West Highlands of Scotland. And I went to school and college in and around Edinburgh. And I got to enjoy British ale when I came of age. And the very genesis of the campaign for real ale, which was all about the kind of beer that we now brew, which is what they refer to as a real ale or naturally carbonated traditional beer.
And this campaign for real ale, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They kind of put out like the the standards of what they consider to be true to the British style of ale, brewing ale.
Well, they really focused on trying to restore the brewing industry to more of an artisan kind of an industry with products produced with love, rather than all the big breweries were being bought up and, you know, mechanized, and the love was kind of going out of it, and the everything was being artificially carbonated, forced carbonation. So the beer was becoming, you know, like fizzy and cold and things like that. And we really like the idea of doing slightly less cold beer and beer that's a little bit more gentle, the mouthfeel and so forth.
No, and that's for the reason that you guys sometimes have a lot of your beers put in casks, if I'm not mistaken, right? You guys,
yeah.
And also utilize nitro over the carbonation, I thought I saw.
Yeah, that's kind of a new addition. That we're sort of in McLeod Ale 2.0 phase right now. Another reason that we did the cask ale was that we have a wonderful mentor in Colorado named Tom Hennessy, and okay. He has been sort of a mentor to many new breweries in the last several years. And his whole gist is cutting down the budget of your new brewery and being able to brew with non-standard equipment that's less expensive, like basically how to set up a brewery on a budget. And one of the things that he talked to us about was that we could do away with all the carbonation equipment if we did cask ale, because we could go directly from our fermenters to cask.
And
so,
was this before you guys opened up that you
consulted
with him? So he kind of even helped point out the direction you guys wanted
to go.
He
basically said that, you know, cask ale was, you know, he said, I tell everyone to do it. No one's done it. It's the only kind of beer I can really get excited about, and you guys should consider it. And, you know, especially because of our British heritage, you know, it was very appealing. So we decided to go for it. So originally it was 100% naturally carbonated. We didn't even get any kind of carbonation equipment until 2 months ago.
So quick, I guess, short of actually drinking beer, you know, that being one of the reasons that you guys started getting into, but were you guys like home brewing before you guys decided to open a
brewery? Not so much, not really at all. I mean, I homebrewed at college in Edinburgh, uh-huh. and had success with that and took some glory with my friends. But I never really had the love for it. I got away from it for a long, long time. But when we came up with the idea of going into the craft beer industry about 4 years ago, we bought a Sabco 10-gallon brew system, and we started homebrewing again.
Oh, okay.
And Jenny and I both homebrewed for a while at home and learned about it and prepared for what we were about to embark upon.
Like some of the recipes that you guys wanted to utilize were probably hammered out in the homebrew system that you guys
were
doing?
Well, originally we were just going to tackle, you know, we were just going to learn to brew. And we had a friend who was going to come on the weekends and, you know, supervise us and help us with the recipes and all that. So we were sort of gearing up to do that. But then we just happened across a brewer who was looking to get into cask ale brewery. So we thought, let's just let him do it. He'll probably do a better job. So we started that process of just really learning how to do it. But then we ended up, delegating that.
So you guys have a brewmaster.
Yes.
And your second one, if I
yes.
is what you guys were saying? And yeah. How did he land an awesome job with you guys over there? McLeod, did he have to kind of show you what he was able to do, and or you guys were familiar with what he's able to do, and that kind of help you with the decision? Or
well, we kind of joke that we only hire customers, because he was
Keep it in-house.
How lucky were we to have a customer for the last year and a half who is... has been a brewer, who is a BJCP certified beer judge.
Oh,
who's has 19 years of home brewing experience. Who's won numerous, homebrew medals and et cetera, and just has an awesome palate. A member of the Maltose Falcons, the local homebrew club. We just Josiah is our new brewer, and he's so amazing in every way. And he also used to work in aerospace as a sort of a quality control inspector. So he kind of comes with some awesome skills, and
like
he was a customer. Yeah,
it was definitely meant to be. Sounds like.
Yeah, and it has to be said that he actually worked at a brewery called Sundowner.
Okay.
Which is the brewery for Wade's Wines in Agora.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he had experience in commercial brewery and really knew a lot about carbonation. Our first brewer, Andy Black, he dedicated his whole brewing kind of life to cask. He was very dedicated to that, and at the exclusion of you know, artificial carbonation. So he did a wonderful job of establishing you know, a real ale program for us, and was with us for 3 years.
Oh, okay, perfect. And the names for the beverage, the beers that you guys brew, how does that decision process get through?
Well, this came from a little idea of a brewery I had before I brought Alistair on. I wanted a couple of my pipe band girlfriends to come in on it with me because they were actually the ones that turned me on to craft beer and showed me around and took me to all of the wonderful tasting rooms in San Diego area. And so I wanted to start a brewery with them called Ladies from Hell Brewing Company, which is a inside pipe band kind of thing. It's what the Germans used to call the Scottish soldiers, actually.
Really?
So we had a little a group of female pipers called the Ladies from Hell. And I wanted to do Ladies from Hell Brewing Company, and I wanted to name all the beers after small Scottish villages or pipe tunes.
Oh, that's cool.
So when we changed it to McLeod Ale, and now Alistair was involved, I still kept the bagpipe tune idea going. So that's where we get all our names.
So these are like Caledoon and I guess Little Spree are actually pipe band song names?
Bagpipe tunes,
Bagpipe
yeah.
songs.
Tunes to be.
There you go.
The thing is, you can't really sing to, when the bagpipes are playing, you wouldn't hear anybody singing. So
no.
It's tunes, yeah.
It's tunes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, you know, I'm kind of tongue twisted there. So, let's see. So, you got the new guy. What was your brewmaster's name again?
Josiah Blomquist.
Josiah. Okay. So, and he's been with you guys now probably
since November.
November, and he's doing a great job, from what I understand. I mean, rave reviews about like the beers that are coming out there. For your company, are you guys looking to try to distribute more to other bars or even, you know, storefronts to try to get your, or is that like a goal that you guys would try to set for yourself?
Yeah, we actually were doing that. We were sending out a lot of bottles, and they were going to Whole Foods and all of the good bottle shops and kegs. Everything was naturally carbonated, though. So bottle conditioned means that it's carbonated inside the bottle by yeast, not artificially carbonated. And we were doing the same with kegs. And we had some success with that. However, we really kind of learned a business lesson there. We really were not consistent enough with our product. When we were naturally carbonating, if you just don't dial in everything exactly right, you can end up with an over-carbonated keg, an under-carbonated keg. Our carbonation level wasn't matching regular beer carbonation level, so we were recommending that our beer be served on nitro taps, but it wasn't really a nitro beer, et cetera, et cetera. So coincidentally, when Josiah came on, our tasting room's been super, super busy. So we're just kind of, it's all we can do to just keep up with the beer demand in the tasting room right now. So we've kind of retreated a little bit for those two reasons. Mm-hmm. Now we have equipment to carbonate beautifully. So we are, again, distributing or making kegs sort of the new-fashioned way, you know, with forced carbonation and whatnot to send out. But the bad part is that we've just been using all that beer in the tasting room because people keep drinking the beer. So we're trying to get the beer out there. We have a new distributor, and we're sending them beer slowly but surely. But we are getting new equipment, and we'll be able to get more beer out shortly.
As a customer, are people able to buy like a cask ale from you guys as a whole, like a Firkin cask ale, like in the 10.8 gallons there? And actually, are you guys able to give that much beer away at once? Or
yes, we've done it from time to time. Availability is probably a little bit of an issue right now. But yeah, we love the idea of someone having a wedding with our beer served in a very stylish way, which would be to have the cask up front and center on top of a bar or table, just with gravity fed into a glass. The whole thing gets drunk in a day. There's no spoilage. And it's a great way to do it. Actually, we're going to try and do a little bit more of that at some point and have a smaller, the 5 gallon cask, which is called a pin, because, you know, it really has to be drunk in an evening.
So you hear that, folks. If you're looking for a little special thing for your wedding celebration coming up, you know, you could always get one of those cask ales from McLeod's. Let's talk about the taste room. I went there, and the layout is fantastic. I mean, how did you guys come up with the idea? It's really open. It's very inviting, open air, and the taste room and the bar with the brewery in the back. Who designed all that?
Well, it was me.
Oh, wow. Look at you, man of many coats. Man of many coats.
Well, the thing was, it was obvious that job would be given to me because I was, for really about 16 years, I was a landscape contractor. Okay. And I did design and installation. So I was very accustomed to designing the layouts of gardens, which are very much to do with entertainment in California, with outdoor patios, water features, fire features, just places to party and everything like that. So it's not unlike a tasting room or a bar. But so I took some pleasure in doing that. And we researched other breweries quite a bit, went up and down the coast looking at cool places that we thought we could try and get some ideas from.
Uh-huh.
And we were always slightly disappointed whenever we went into a brewery where we couldn't see the equipment. I think, you know, to get the visual jollies on tanks and the brew house and, you know, the grain mill and delivery system and everything, that's what I was particularly interested in. And I think a lot of homebrewers and people in the craft beer industry, they really want to see, not only go to the source of the beer, but to actually see the equipment and actually see it being made.
And it's, you know, yours is front and present. I mean, yours is right there.
Yeah, so we designed it, laid it out so that you could just stand at the far end of the bar and just see everything going on and watch, you know, assistant brewers shoveling, you know, spent grain and
cleaning kegs
and doing
all the fun stuff. How was it, the reception that you guys got in that neighborhood when you guys showed up in Van Nuys? I mean, was it... a two-part question. One, how did you guys decide to want to be in the San Fernando Valley, and how was the reception when you guys moved into Van Nuys?
Well, I've actually been in that neighborhood for a long time because I lived in Sherman Oaks and my kids went to school 3 blocks from the brewery, so we were very familiar with that neighborhood.
Okay.
And we ended up there by chance. We looked at a lot of different buildings all over the place, Pasadena, downtown, but Alistair came across this one just by chance, and the landlord was amenable, so we went for it. And in terms of being in Van Nuys, I always tell this story, I don't know how politically correct it is, but when our logo was actually designed in Colorado.
Okay.
Due to our association with Tom Hennessy, as I mentioned earlier. And he designed some shirts for us, and he put Van Nuys on the sleeve. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, no. Well, he obviously, you know, whoops, we forgot to tell him, you know, we need to change that to Los Angeles or something. But then we thought, you know, wait a minute. Maybe we could actually be proud of being in Van Nuys. So we kind of changed our mindset on that, and it's been a really important thing. So many people that come in are just so grateful to have something really cool in Van Nuys. It's helped them have pride about living there, and it's just been a really great thing, and we'll never take that off the sleeve. It'll always be there.
I am super happy that you guys are here in the Valley. I want to kind of cover some ground here because apparently we're having a great conversation. The Founders 54 Club, you guys want to talk about that, and also your Punters Club that you guys got going? What's the story behind? Well, the Founders Club, I guess, was before the brewery happened?
No, it was right after. And honestly, you know, breweries are expensive. And a couple times we found ourselves short on cash, frankly. And you have to be creative. Like, how are we going to get an infusion of cash in here? So we came up with the idea of the Founders Club, which is one of our customers sent us an article that another company way far away had done something like this. So we offered beer for life for $1,000, and we had quite a few people do it. And, you know, it was a great little, you know, bunch of cash that we really needed. And then same thing happened a year later with the Punters Club. It's like, oops, we're getting low again. And people had asked me, you know, people who didn't get in on the Founders Club, which was a limited time, like one time only thing, you know, oh, how can we do that? Or could you do something a little cheaper or something? So we kind of, I had always promised them Founders Club 2.0. So that was the Punters Club. And that's basically the same thing, but it's for a year. It's like a mug club, a very expensive mug club.
But I've gone on the website and you've actually done the math.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a great deal. Makes
perfect sense to do it if you're able to. So that's the Punters Club. But you guys have other things going on inside the buy a drink for a friend. So it looks like somebody can show up and...
Yeah.
I guess buy a drink for somebody who's not there yet, or...
Yeah, no, I got that idea from... I think what... I saw it around town, but what solidified it was... Island Brewing in Carpinteria had one, and it was this massive board. It was... a dry erase board with just tons of names on it. And I thought, you know, we should do that. So we did our version on a blackboard, and people really love it. They buy beers for friends.
Yeah, I mean, prominent people saw Eric Garcetti, mayor's name on there, and I even saw Bill Murray's name up on there. Nothing going on to that.
Come on, Bill, come in.
Yeah, Bill,
come
if
in,
you
get
listen.
Your pint.
Yeah, you know, people are buying you stuff.
And that's, you're not been, even... that's been so popular that we actually had to do a reset. We had to take photos of the boards, erase everything, and start from scratch. It's been, yeah. So we have a book with the old boards, and people can still come in and claim those. Because we always have this debate about an expiration date, but then some of us are like, no, never, never. So we keep all those names available.
Yeah,
but
we're treating it like a coupon where you're not allowed to have an expiry. So that'll be there forever. And I would like to encourage people to come in, because I'm sure people are aware that they have beers waiting. But they really need to come in, because we feel awful that the product's not being delivered.
Yeah, you guys are kind of collecting the money and I'm delivering the product. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a wonderful program that you guys – I kind of want to somehow get my name up on that board at some point in time.
Some people don't claim their beers because they'd rather have their name up on the board than claim the beer. That's part of what happens, too. It's like their little piece of fame at McLeod.
That's fantastic. I mean, you guys are doing great things there. And, I mean, not even just that. I mean, you guys have these events, yoga on certain days. Mm-hmm. And I guess you guys just did a beer and cheese night or something along those lines.
Yeah, these cheese companies love to do that. We've had about three different ones that we've had over the past year or two, and they pair the beer with about four styles, and they come. It's very elegant, and people love it. It's the good life.
And yoga and beer drinking at the same time. How does that actually work?
They mostly drink afterwards, but you know there's obviously a spiritual element to yoga, the meditational side of it. And if you're gonna, you know, remove some of your inhibitions and free your mind and your spirit, there's nothing to say that that's not going to help you. But and also, I mean, the main thing is they have beers afterward, which is a great reward for having done something very physically and spiritually
beneficial. I can see, like, you kind of earn that beer as you get there.
Well, I think one important element of McLeod and why it's so community-focused is because most of these events that we do are not generated by us. They're generated by our customers. We had one customer that was hugely into darts. We have another customer who is hugely into board games and gaming. And they come to us and say, you know, would you mind if we did something on a Wednesday night or a Monday night or something like that? And so mostly it's just a matter of us enabling our customers to take a little bit of ownership of a night at McLeod. And it makes them feel like it's their place, too. Basically let them have their run of the place, you know, within reason. They come in and they do their thing. We give them the freedom to do that. And so it's really a community building our tasting room. It's not just us doing it the way we want and just, you know, looking
exactly
at
exactly what we need here in the Valley. Yeah, that's exactly what we need.
And so we have this big space. We took over the second side, and it's this big room, and you can use it for all kinds of things, and people do. We have art classes there because we have artists come in. You know, it's basically just people using it kind of like a village hall, which is something that Alistair and I have always talked about, that there's a lack of village halls here in the United States. So in our little way, part of our brewery has become that, and it's definitely partly why people bond with the brewery.
A meeting place for the people in the community around you. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's very inviting, your brewery and taste room that you got going there. Well, you guys are gaining so much of popularity and nothing but positive, spectacular reviews online. You know, when I was doing my research, I mean, people's certainly have taken a liking and loving to even. What are you guys trying to achieve, your goals? What kind of goals are you guys trying to achieve for yourself coming up here in like the next couple of years or so?
Well, we would like to, like many small breweries, we're not really, we haven't really arrived as far as a solvent entity, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's not unusual for a new business. We are just trying to expand to the point where, you know, we can afford to do all the stuff that the government forces us to do, the regulations, the, you know, obviously we're doing everything by the book, so we have no choice, and it's very expensive to run and payroll and the labor code and insurance and everything. So, yeah, to get to that point initially, but I mean, we do have big goals of how to open a bigger facility and have a bigger brew house, brew more beer, actually get to the point where we have some economy of scale where we can actually put beer out in bars across the city, the LA mm-hmm. Basin, and maybe, you know, we're actually distributing to technically to five counties, but you know, we haven't really given them the beer yet.
But so. No, I mean those sound like great goals, and I'm almost certain that those are achievable and probably sooner than later. How are you looking, Mario? We gotta wrap it up. Okay, well, I'm being told that's about all the time we have for today. I want to give a big thanks to Alistair and Jennifer for coming out. McLeod Brewing Ale Brewing Company is located 14741 Calvert Street in Van Nuys. Place is amazing. The beers are fantastic from what people report. And
thank
you. Know,
you.
Anything else you'd like the people to know? Anything you want to throw out there or how people can get a hold of you on the internet or anything like
Don't
that?
Don't be afraid to come. Even by yourself, you'll find someone who welcomes you and gets you involved in an awesome conversation, so don't be shy. Come on,
and it's McLeodAleBrewing.com.
McLeodAle.com.
There you go.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook at McLeodAle.
Right on. Well, thanks for listening to Lager Than Life, people. Please remember to drink responsibly above all else. And this is Dan DeLeon with KPCRadio.com signing off.